Responsible for managing the South African part of the bargain, and the Zimbabweans are responsible for their own side, but we do this around the common Hegel and Kant, issues of common and mutual interest. On the Mozambican side, they have the semblance of such a structure, but it is not well funded and not well started and as strong as we have in South Africa. Hence, all the problems that we have in the Mozambican.
But what, I mean, what does the treaty say? One side not bringing their side, what does the treaty say? Can you get out of the treaty? Can you do something about it?
Chair, it is very quiet on those aspects. It doesn't really deal with the operational issues, and particularly sometimes when things are not working.
I'm not dealing with Kruger Park, to my shame, but how does it work? I go through a gate in South Africa, can I then cross the border into Mozambique?
Through the border, beyond the border post.
I go through a border post?
Yes.
So those people that are not going through the border post are using every other illegal means to get in?
True, and it's been happening long before the Western Structure Park came into existence. We've had problems, we remember that. As a country, we had an electrified sense to manage that problem. It did not disappear post 1994 and when we started the transplant hub. It is worse in certain instances, but now that the defense force is back patrolling the border, it is starting to get better.
Right, well, we may want to go into that a bit more, but now we've got the basics.
So the business first architecture of Sunparks, as I said, is that we are a conservation institution. A lot of people know us through our tourism offering, which is 15,000 beds any given night, bigger than any hotel in the country. But really, tourism is a product of good conservation work, and it's our conservation strategy. Through that conservation strategy, we generate 80% of our operational budget and 20% obviously comes from the department in terms of grants. Another leg of the business is constituency building. Indeed, we have a huge component of our society that has been alienated over decades from conservation benefits and participating in conservation activities, hence the need to build those constituencies in those communities. And we do this in a very structured, monk manner, whereby forums, each and every park in South Africa has a forum that is gazetted, and that forum is the official representation of representative platform for communities to interact with us on management issues and also on relationships between parks and the community. The rest, really, we have to create value for value creation and delivery to government in terms of our customers and stakeholders. So in a nutshell, this is the business architecture of the park. And I will ask my colleague to give us just a quick view on the strategy map of the organization, which is really a summary of the business plan that Chairperson that you have there on one page. This is
Unlike some of the institutions that focus on the financial aspect of their finance, of their performance, it actually reflects four perspectives of our operation. And if you look at the slide, it focuses on the learning and growth perspective. I'm just focusing on the side with the black heading and the internal processes, the stakeholders, and the financial perspectives of our operation. Basically, if you look at the learning and growth and the internal processes, they are the drivers of our strategy. And the stakeholders and the financial perspectives are more the outcome of what we would like to see. what you see there as a strategy map is a culmination of long discussions with our executives and board to actually translate the vision and the mission of the park, so that we are able in half a page and in such a small print we are able to communicate to stakeholders at all levels about what is it that we are doing and how we are going to do it. And we actually do that by simply reflecting corporate strategic objectives. 5 years ago, if you were looking at the strategy map, you would see a lot of strategic objectives that were reflected there. And over the years, through deliberations, we were able actually to simplify the strategic objectives. However, when we are actually cascading this strategy map to operational level, we develop a lot of other measures that actually talk to the same objectives. I think if we just look at the learning and growth, one is deals with the people within the organization, all the strategic objectives and measures of about what is it that the things that we do with people who are employed within the organization, they will be actually under that strategic objective of promoting effective management of human capital. In terms of the internal processes, that reflects the processes and the systems of what we do for us to actually efficiently manage our resources. And we have translated those into those four things that we do. We also, under stakeholders and customers, have reflected those three strategic objectives that have to do with the stakeholders, including not only the visitors that come to our park, but also communities and, for instance, government. The financial aspect of our performance is around here, us making sure that we achieve long-term financial sustainability by promoting effective budget management and growing earnings. And what basically we are saying is that if we are able to look at corporate level on those strategic objectives, we will be able then to deliver the conservation mandate by excelling in managing our national park system. And just one of the advantages of the framework is that we are able to manage the strategy and we measure the strategy and also we monitor the strategy through the quarterly reviews and the annual reviews. And I think what David is going to continue talking about is a reflection of how we have translated that strategy into operations and the planning process.
This is how high level from the conservation division, I can produce something like up to about 500 or so measures of what can be done in the conservation. For example, resource protection would deal as part of the improvement of the state of conservation. Resource protection at the business plan and strategy of the conservation division. Conservation Services deals on a high level with the poaching problem, particularly the rhino in the Kruger National Park and the joint operations that we have with other law enforcement agencies. We go down to this level. But we measure, for example, here, the target is to improve the state of the conservation system. As it is, where do we want to go? How do we then improve that state of the conservation state? One of the things that have been chosen here is that we should look at the red data list. And from the red data list, pull out some of the species that are listed there and start several management programs to deal with it. And if you achieve 95% of that, certainly you have acted or intervened correctly in terms of the listed species. And rhino is one of those listed species in terms of our management problem. And the other aspect that for a very long time has been neglected by Chairperson and honorable members is that of people. Without people as part of the conservation heritage, we stand we actually are perpetrating the old culture of excluding people in conservation decision making. So our cultural heritage improvement program is part of that initiative. We hope one day when the committee visits us, you will be quite pleased with what you will see, the program that you will see that we have put up at Makubuwe, at the World Heritage Site, in terms of reviving the culture of the Balema people in Venda, and how they lived and how that kingdom epitomized the highest level of development of African civilization. Climate change is a reality, it is here. There are species that we are told will disappear in areas, as Dr. Abrams has indicated, in the north, in Kruger, and other parts of the future in that region. We have a very extensive list of all those issues, and we have specific measures. And if we achieve 90% of that, we think we would have intervened correctly. However, it is not possible at this level to bring all those details because although in our business plan they are stated, but we are looking at all those issues. The challenges are that for us to have good relations with our communities, we must stop our lions and elephants from destroying their crops and attacking them. And damage causing animals are a serious challenge. Rhino poaching is rising, but Chairperson, in the last 2 months, since the deployment of the South African National Defence Force to monitor the boundary with Mozambique, we have seen a tremendous decline of incidents per day, and incidents per week and per month. But we've seen a rising toll of those that unfortunately cannot be forgiven for harming our national heritage. The number of poachers that have been shot to death has increased, and the number of arrests as well has increased. What has not increased is the number of convictions, and we would like to see that also decrease.
What are the ideas of the convictions?
that
unless we have the speakers, we don't know how many falls in which category.
Our
tourism performance and the forward looking has been quite amazing, given the context and atmosphere that is prevalent due to the recession and economic downswing, the slow global recovery, unrest in the Middle and Far East, rising fuel prices, low occupancies in various hotel establishments. I think there were a number of statements made by tourism authorities around the country. Ours, yes, we've had a decline, but 69.2% is still a very high occupancy rate compared to about a national average of about 50-51%. And we hope we can take it to about 74.5%. The number of visitors, we had a 0.5 increase from last year. As I say, people have to choose between going on holiday or saving their wallets and cars. The total domestic black visitor numbers, which we monitor quite seriously, has also declined by 2.1 from last year's numbers. And we hope we can grow it to about 490 from that 397. We have a very good or healthy customer satisfaction index, which comes from the surveys that we conduct, and we hope we can take it to 85%. Job creation is our motif. It runs through the system, through our public-private partnerships, through the expanded public works program, and Chair, we are very pleased to say this morning 10,350 people woke up and went to work in a national park somewhere in the country. 10,350. Consisting of different categories, permanent employees, those who are on expanded public work, those who work in the public-private partnerships that we created, the Logic. Outsourced and insourced operations, security and the like. Those people put food on the table for their families because of the existence of the national. Yeah, I wouldn't want to go into detail in terms of what each park does.
Yeah, no, don't do it.
It's not really important as long as we've got a big picture in terms of the national operations, but we cascade all those objectives to specific ones at park level, and the parks are all over the country. We do monitor them obviously through our monitoring system in terms of what they do. So members are most welcome to ask specific questions on those areas, but I would rush to finance so that you can take the financial aspect of the report. There's a slide. And the CFO will take us through the financial performance.
Chair, thanks through you. I will talk briefly about our finance and performance. In terms of revenue, we have over collected a little bit by 5 million or so. Given the challenges that we were facing during the year under review. So our tourism growth year on year has increased by 15% or so. And in terms of the operational grants from the department, they increased by 4%, 10%. And in terms of our expenditure, we are on par with the budget. Our cost curtailment has really worked for us during the year, despite the economic condition in the country. So we put our operating expenses under control. And 10% the bottom line, although we are showing a surplus of 59 million, but we should understand that 59 million is not cash in the bank, but the way that we apply our accounting standards. Pure savings from our operational activities, 10% around only 6 million, that is the cash in the bank, coming from savings and then extra collections from our tourism.
You said you got 10,500 stock. What percentage of your salary is stock?
56%.
56%. And do you, that your salary structure, is that of the same as the DPSA?
No, we have I think around about 1970s, the board then developed its own partisan claiming system. So we are on the partisan claiming system which has been running for over decades. So we have a different one from the.
Please, I hope I'm not getting a cell phone somehow.
Yeah. So it's different from that of the public service, but in terms of levels, the levels correspond. That's it. Just to summarize, we have achieved our budget target as per our initial strategic plan.
If you want to create another park or add land and so on, the department gets that money. I mean, it gives it to you to do.
Yes, Chair. They
what are the plans in that?
Oh, we have a land acquisition growth plan. That is approved by the board and also endorsed by the department. But unfortunately, there isn't enough money to cover that. So, from our park development fund, which is raised through Wildlife Say, we've been able in the past to buy extra land for growth.
So, over and above this budget, you have a fund as well?
Yes.
Where is that accounted for?
Yes. So, we have 11 million.
Where is it accounted for?
Yeah, in the slide.
Which one?
It's
sale of fauna and flora.
Yeah, sale of fauna and flora.
So there, you sell flora and fauna and then you use that money to
buy.
So it's part of your budget?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then this five-year budget, this is just where you want to go.
That's where we want to go, Chairperson, and some of the allocations that we've already received from the department in terms of their indications, of the way forward. We must say that it is not that low, but I don't think we have a proper platform to complain about the budget. Our request really is that when we go all out, initiate new initiatives that generate revenue, but unfortunately once we are at that level where we now really in some sort of a pound-foot kind of scenario, the budget gets cut, the baseline allocation from the department gets reduced. And that really cripples us, because that takes us back to square one.
Who makes policy on conservation?
The board makes policy on conservation and it is guided by the department's policy, the program that biodiversity and cultural.
Where is that policy? Is it also in this brown book?
Yes. It is one of those in the departmental report. There are guidelines for us in terms of what we need to do.
That's not policy, that's what you need to do. I'm asking, is there policy from government?
Yes, there is a policy from government. It comes from
Section 55 of the Biodiversity Act. Yes. A lot of
that's
the
an act, it's not a policy.
Yeah. But the basis for it comes from the act itself.
Is there a policy somewhere? When I want to look whether this entity is doing what we want them to do. Where do I look and say that you're not doing this, you're not doing that?
Okay, it's the same strategy that we said that we're going to provide to you earlier.
Okay. All right, we still don't have it, so. Maybe it's better we receive it sooner rather than later. Maybe someone should be going to fetch it. All these policies, come on, face it first, okay? All right, anything else from your side?
So shall we can continue with the presentation? Touch on a few things.
When we come on our oversized visit, where will we stay?
That was the answer in the presentation.
You have to be cool and natural. You have to be.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now I'm looking here at all these nice pictures about you with a room.
Not a loo, it's a view.
And the Radisson Hotel.
Shall we come into that so that at least we can hear some of the controversial parliamentarians who received a lot of letters and whatever that we read about in the media and thought that we get an opportunity to deal with it so that you can
deal with it.
Be in a position of sense. How do I get all of
this? Deal with it?
Yes, I'm trying to get out of this.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought you were going to get out of answering the question.
Yeah. it's very difficult, Jefferson, to deal with these issues abstractly. We thought we should just put a 5-minute slideshow to explain where we come from and how did we arrive at the hotel. So the hotel was different. And those handouts are actually in that box. It's in the box over there. Yes. No, it's here.
Which box?
Jefferson, between
there you've gone far back.
Between
counting to 1898.
Between 1898 and 1923, there was no tourism product in Cuba. People arrived there by train for the first time in 1923. It was called the Rounding Nine. They brought with themselves. They brought with them a piano, and they would sit around the fire and the warden would address them. And they would have the long drive, the long arm dance around the fire, and just take care of their carabiners not to catch fire. But in 1927, the first humble huts were erected in those three camps, Kukuza, Pretoria, Patara, and I think Letaba. This is how people started the humble tourism business in Cuba and visiting by car. You can tell the type of the vehicle. And only 4 cars arrived there in 1927, and by then this perception of overcrowded, too many people was already in the minds of people. Every time we reach all those milestones, they were very complaining that there's too many people.
Let's move a bit quicker.
And
this show them, yeah.
This is how game viewing was done in the 1920s. So the problem of people getting out of cars is as old as the park itself. This is how you would enjoy your camping, without any protection. And those were the first tents. This is how it looked like. Inside your potty there, the bath, and the food next week. These were the selfie huts designed by an American engineer who was afraid of animals and created peepholes for people to look through. They didn't have windows, they were cold, and they were difficult. This is how they looked like inside, the selfie huts. And that's what you would have had at Luasa in 1931. Built by rangers. And that's your bathroom. All purpose bathroom. And that was the kitchen, the common communal kitchen that we have. The RTP houses did not start with post 1994. They were there in the park where the Knaf had. And this is one camp that had problems because of water quality, and it had to be closed down. It has now been relegated to a walking place at Polyphony. Jefferson, just to show the, you know, growth in terms of improvement, the Taba then and the Taba now. This is how a hut looked like at Pretoria Cop in the 1950s. And your hot water, whether it's winter or not, this is how you could get hot water at Katara. And that's the contrast in terms of the old and the new. Same with Katara, the unit that's now been improved. Even staff accommodation from those two small pondokis to a proper house with bedrooms for children and other family members. The same applies to open date. This is, in my view, Jefferson and many conservationists, this is something that should not have been allowed in a national park. But because the leadership played golf, they supported it and they built the water course for 40 years ago, gobbling a lot of water, and you can see the footprint of the golf course, how big it is.
I've not been invited to. I'm a golfer.
Not in the national park, but it's there. And then a newer campus built in 1984 with modern facilities, conferencing, swimming pools, and the like. And so is the Mopani camp with lovely conference facilities. And this is post 1994, the concession. This is Zimbali Kruger. The bathroom has now been transformed into something else on the other side. This brings us then, Jefferson, the moral of the story is that nothing is static. Things change. They do change. The world in which we live in is changing all the time. We have no guarantee that what we're doing today will be liked by future generations. All we can do is caution them that, look, make sure that whatever changes that you make, you ensure that you look after the ecology, the integrity of the ecology. This is the new Radisson Malalang Safari Lodge, the hotels that people have been complaining about, that they will be skyscraper, they will actually damage the environment. And there's a unit. This is the reception area. This is how it will look like. The philosophy, the design philosophy, is that it should combine nature with pleasure. And as you can see, even on the open deck, you can interact with the nature. The view from one of those large bedrooms, basically upholding the highest principle. So from 1959, that's how the meeting looked like. And today it is called the countryman. The same as with us, we're bringing in innovation as one of our strategic objectives, indicating that innovation is important without damaging the environment. So we thought that we should just share this perspective with the committee, so when you are asked about these changes, you are able to respond to.
What about the accusation of casual uses?
Yeah. There is the perception to chair around the chairperson of the board, Mr. Hussein Zahin, who is a board member, a director of Velapanda Group. Mm-hmm. Velapanda Group is a separate company with its board, with its own entity, shareholders, away from Velapanda Holdings, which is a BE component of the partner, Radisson Blue, in this project. So they are confused. The problem is that they are both in Velapanda, but in no way are they linked. So there is no conflict of interest.
So the director of the board doesn't have any interest in the company that's holding those cups?
No, he doesn't.
All right. There's a nice slide. Mm-hmm. All right, any other issues you want to raise? Okay. Question, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mm-hmm. Kalyan, you had a question just now when we were dealing with the rhinos.
Oh.
So, you want to ask that one?
Yes.
Yes, and you said you have 170 persons in custody. I was just interested to know, are these South African nationals? And I don't mean to be xenophobic, but I want to know, because there's been speculation that this is part of a syndicate, and that the rhino poaching is for specifically for medicinal, that the horns are being used specifically for medicinal purposes, and that there's a market out there in the Asian sector. So I would just like to know, you know, are these South Africans that are doing this, or are, you know, and do you, I know it's speculation, but do you think it is a syndicate, because the pattern is confirming that this is an organized activity. Just the second question, I've read the right to reply regarding the proposed development of hotels within the park. What impact on the environment in terms of natural bird life and disrupting, you know, the natural life, will the activity, the increased activity of building, I'm talking about the noise, industrial noise and all that, how do you foresee that?
Financial woes blame on board lack of interest in conservation. Under threat, the Lost Corp Reserve finances crumble, and its emaciated buffaloes have little access to food and water. Answer those as well. Any other questions?
Sorry,
Dr. Fong?
I think that you thought that your presentation, you say you had 170 cases in the court for alum. So I want to know, is the 170 cases for alum, is it all from the local people, from the neighbor country people, you know, over the boundary of the local crime? So this one I'd like to know. Then how much it will cost the little court case from the your side? And conservation, this presentation, you say it's a 95% progress against the implementation of release of space, for management. This was 2010-11. But up to the 2015-16, we still keep the 95% wide, because everything you are increased. Okay.
And then Dr.
Talia? What are some of the challenges of the transit part of conservation areas, and how does the park engage on the project to portray the construction of the ecosystem?
Now that's important. You see, what do you need to tell us? Is there a mechanism through which we engage in the Mozambique? Or are we just not engaging them at all? The Transfrontier Park, where there are problems. What are we doing about it? What's government doing about it? Dr. Collier?
Thank you.
Thank you. I have two questions about the board. And my one question will go back to the previous, the family board, which I understand their term of office came to end today, and the minister has extended it by a year. And one wonders why, because what is the term of office of the members of the board? Well, now, Sam being seen as yes, but I'm just waiting it. I should have asked you then. What is the term of office of the board? What is it that they actually do, and is it a paid position? Going back to the Mozambican, is it a treaty or a memorandum of understanding or a protocol? And has it been ratified and signed by both sides?
Read the board. I said to you, on each of these four entities, we've got one document from government that deals all the government issues, okay? This is obviously not being presented as just for information. So just have a look at South African National Park Compliance with Governance Framework. Yes, you should have four documents on it. Okay. That'll still answer your question, but
yeah,
I'm just saying,
you
may want to ask some more questions from there, from the governance document. Mr. Sustana?
I just want to get a clarity on the problem of assisting the small parts that are developing in the market. Because we do have some parts, we don't know whether it's a part of the people collecting what they are collecting in the community. There's a problem, is there any problem?
Any other questions? Well, let's take that. CEO, let's go from on
here. So then I'll share the responses with my colleague. In terms of the nationalities of people that have been arrested, the majority are Mozambican, but really mostly it's level one, those are just foot soldiers, the people that go in and do the coaching. The runners and the organizers, the big bosses are much higher up there. Those tend to be foreign nationals, and the nationals are Chinese, Vietnamese, of course there are South Africans that are involved as well. And then the related to that is the
cost of the arrest.
Oh, the cost of the court case. The cost does not come to us. Once they've been arrested, they become a responsibility of the Department of Justice that deals with the judiciary. Judicial process, they go to court, you never pay for those you know, court appearances or costs related to that, and that's obviously if people defend or you know take issue with that, but we haven't spent money on that side of the process. They're taken to court, some those that have been sentenced get sentenced, and then we bring others in the pipeline as well. I'll ask Stockton to respond to the issues related to the hotel in terms of the structures and the impact of the natural wildlife and other species, including the swazi lily, which has been identified. Prof. Andrew Jefferson is contracted as a coordinator of the project, the development project. Expertise and experience as a conservationist and as also a landscape specialist with a conservation background.
Yeah, I'm also the closest you're going to see to a board member today is I've been on the park board for 50 years and I retired last year. I think when dealing with the environmental impact, there's really two issues one needs to deal with. One is the ecological impact. It can be measured and it can be determined, and often it happens over long term. The other is the aesthetic impact. and those are visual or noise components. Now the best way of dealing with the impact of any tourism development is to put it on the edge of the park, because that zone, the edge of the park, is the most impacted zone. And in this case, the site selected by the park zoning process put it right on the southern boundary, where it's on the edge of a huge agricultural region and high density population. So it's right by the Malaland entrance gate. And the second way of reducing the impact of such development is to actually restrict driving to the lodge. People will leave their cars at the entrance gate and they'll be fetched and brought to the lodge. The one advantage of the lodge, and that gave rise to this concept of hotel, is that if you have a high density of structures, you reduce the footprint of the building and you manage the people differently. And that's where the perception came from, that this is a series of hotels. And you have a hotel, looks like in Slangerhof, and Kruger is going to be filled with those kinds of hotels. And that's, of course, a perception. It's not true, but it's a nice, easy one to do. So in terms of the environment, I studied the whole of Kruger, and I also studied the southern part in Kruger, and I came to this amazing conclusion that often biodiversity within camps are higher than outside the camp. If you look at a camp like Bergendal, you find the protection from elephant browsing gives rise to increase in biodiversity in most issues of reptiles, frogs, vegetation, and the only reduction you have is normally in mammals. So a place like Bergendal, you see, is actually a sea of vegetation, like an island in a landscape affected by elephants. So in my opinion, the environmental impact was dealt with properly through site selection and will now be selected or improved further through the construction process and the management process. I must say that these are a properly organized, independent EIA being done, not by myself. I'm advising the board on how to communicate, but also on how to implement this project. But the independent EIA will determine whether the project goes ahead, and that is an issue the department will have to decide on.
You've also done a reply.
Here.
There's a lot of detail in it. I've just been given a copy. I don't know if everyone else has got a copy. If you don't have a copy, make sure that everyone gets a copy of it. Okay? Just to add to the response. I mean, I've given a full two-page response there. Okay? Other issues?
The other issues which have talked to me here with the story of the building.
One of the aesthetic impacts is these huge towering statues you often see in the old type structures. And of course the top half of the building is visible, but it's not used. And in this case, the developers or the architects designed a flat structure. The main building is two stories high, the lodges where people stay are over one story high.
So at most it's two stories.
At most two. But not too functional stories at the height.
So a giraffe will walk past and be able to look at all
that.
Elephant will walk through. All right. Now look, I mean, obviously the important thing is the impact statement. Obviously some group or the other has their right to do so, decide that they don't like it. And but let's just make the department make sure there's a proper environmental impact statement. Okay? All right. Other issues?
The 95% that someone asked about, yes, so if I can reply to that one, the 95% is linked to a specific project that are determined annually. Because when you come to conservation, some of the KPIs, you can't quantify them in real quantities or numbers. So we are coming up with annual projects, specific projects, and then we measure those projects on an annual basis.
The Tutukama fishing, fishing boat.
Tutukama fishing, there has been an extensive local engagement with the stakeholders and the beneficiaries, and that time was actually appointed by the deputy minister about 2008, and that had come up with proposals that were submitted to the department, and the minister had made a decision around the gamma fishing issue, and that decision still prevails up until today.
The decision
was that the gamma, as an oldest marine protected area, is a no-take zone, and therefore it will not be allowed for fishing. And that decision prevails today too.
Beautiful. That's very positive. The other day. Lovely, lovely. Let's not mess it up. People can go and fish somewhere else.
Thank you, Chair. The board term of office is 3 years, and the board can actually be reappointed for a second term and not beyond. The current board term ends on the 31st of March 2012. And we hope that the appointment and all the process is a responsibility of the department. The treaty or MOU or protocol, Dr. Killian, is actually a treaty. I was part of the team that prepared those treaties.
Who said better if I was you? Seeing there's no get out clause, I'm very embarrassed.
We were told what to do.
The wrong thing to admit.
Yeah. But the treaty is in place.
See, that's not my understanding, but we'll have to confirm whether there is in fact this. I think it's more of a protocol. We're working, I know, with SADC at the moment.
It's a treaty. It's a treaty. I worked on that.
Okay.
Give us a copy of this treaty without the get-out clause.
I'm just talking from the perspective of the Pan-African Parliament, which we sat last week, and this was one of the issues that we discussed in one of the portfolio committees. And we looked at what is the status of it, what is its impact, the financial implications, and the honouring of it. So I would really like clarity on it, because they seem to think the members of parliament from the Pan-African Parliament or Mozambique seem to think it is just the MOU.
Mm. All right, it's easy. Get a copy and obviously give us a short one-page report on what steps you or the government is taking to actually make sure that we get the other side of the the problem is, you know, it's a wonderful idea, but you can't, I mean, it can't become a haven for criminality. I mean, you can never, as a government, allow that. So, okay, we'll get all that, we'll get all the copies, and that one-page report, okay? You want to add something, sir?
Just briefly on the wildlife trafficking situation, our ministers are meeting the Vietnamese counterparts in relation to wildlife trafficking, so we're trying to address it there as well. And I know that there's also part of the SADC, I think it's Mozambique, that we're actually meeting with Mozambique, our minister, in terms of an environmental protocol that's being discussed, which will address one of the issues to be addressed in an environmental protocol is also the issue around enforcement and how we deal with it with our neighbors.
That one is simple. The rhino one is simple. All you must do is get some doctor to get up and say it is now irrefutably proven that drinking a rhino horn actually takes away your libido and doesn't actually increase it. The next moment on, there will be a lot of live rhinos because no one will buy it.
I just want to understand if the issue of Kisikama is the minister talk to the rights of the community that were benefiting out of the fishing, because I think to their thinking is that they are still awaiting the EIA. So I just want to get the clarity.
Any response?
So the decision, the recommendation was made by the board in terms of relevant issues. The board that made that recommendation. But in terms of the act itself, the minister must communicate that to the back to the community. Fishing at Tsukama, I think, was closed many years ago. Been closed for a very long time. Hence, the fish stocks have recovered to a level where now they're replenishing the entire coastline in that area. But so there were nobody lost anything, a right or anything, by, you know, immediately in terms of this decision. It was a wish or a request by the community that it be reopened after years it has been closed down, and the board felt that it is not in the interest of conservation to do that, and therefore made a recommendation to the minister to reopen. So the minister, what I'm aware of is that the minister has not yet communicated that decision to the community.
Well, please, can we raise that as an issue that needs to be dealt with? I mean, is there a decision that should be immediately communicated? Don't let people hang on and think that there are other issues. Okay? Hisham, you got that?
Yes, sir.
We just feel that that must be communicated. Any other issues that have... What about these parcels going bankrupt? You seem to be ducking that one.
No. Jefferson, no. We don't have any parcels that are... going bankrupt because the National Park system, the Sun Park, cross-subsidizes itself. Money that is generated from the five parks that generate a surplus gets reinvested into the management of the entire system. Some of our parks.
Who is the Mpumalanga? Tourism and Park Agency.
Yeah, they are a provincial agency, like for KZN and Velo. Oh, okay. Yeah, so...
It's not you.
No. Not us.
Alright, so...
There's none of our parks that are shared at her,
whoever gave me this, putting me on the wrong track.
Yeah.
Alright. So, all your parks are fine, you've got a 5 million... after you paid your big salaries, you've got a 5 million surplus, plus paying consultants and so on. Still got a surplus after that.
That's correct, Chairperson.
And when you build your expensive hotel, you get all the money out of there. Hopefully, it'll be more than 5 million a year surplus.
That's the intention, Chairperson.
Right, we want to come and visit at some stage, get some nice rooms ready. It will be a good way to get me on your right, on the right side. Give the DA a presidential suite and give the NC people four little rooms. And then leave it to the press, okay?
There's one question
Chairperson,
of the smaller parks. I think Honorable Kosana is referring to the Mpumalanga region parks that are really struggling. Unfortunately, there is no official program where national or a national agency like us is mandated to go and assist provincial parks.
But you know, I know a little about these things, but what worries me is which legislation then regulates provincial activities?
Provincial,
are you telling me there's a piece of legislation and their policies?
Mm-hmm.
I'm now worried that there's another layer of parks and conservation.
Yes.
What is the story?
What I would suggest is maybe when we do that briefing on the entire framework, because first of all, there's the Act, right, which is the legislation. Then we've got the NDSAP, which is a strategy. Then we've got the National Biodiversity Framework, and all those are frameworks, and they guide how we actually deal with biodiversity in the country. We have national parks, which is sand parks, and the provinces have their own parks, but there's local authorities also that have parks. So that would be in terms of different legislation as well. So each tier, like for example, each province has also got its own provincial
and
education.
Private ones? Under which legislation is private ones?
It's also regulated in terms of our act, as far as I'm aware.
And the provincial ones?
The provincial ones, they need to conform to our national legislation, but they have subordinate legislation, or rather provincial legislation, which is aligned with our, or should be aligned with ours.
I will prepare an input and, I mean, all the frameworks and the policies and that, so we have it in one place. There'll be two pages, so we have, know, can see, you know, what is there and what regulates the provinces and that. I need those frameworks, you know. I mean, I don't want to avoid you being becoming a kennel, like the other others. Right, any other issues?
Yeah.
Everyone answered the issues? Okay. Let us, if we need that thing from the department, what were the issues? Was there anything we needed from you?
Yeah.
Other than your, I mean, what we didn't deal with, you show me when your annual report is your auditor's report. I see you didn't take us through it. What are you hiding here? What page? In my opinion, the financial statements present fairly in all material respects. Present fairly in all material respects the financial position of Sandbox as at 31 March 2010. And its financial performance and cash flow over the years then ended in accordance with the South African blah 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 in the manner required by the PMA. And this year's financial statements, the auditor is looking at it, everything seems fine.
We are on track, Captain.
I'm talking on mic, I can't hear.
Come on.
Captain is in process, we are hoping to have the same outcome.
Have they engaged with you yet? And what are they saying? Does it look alright?
It looks alright, although as Sunday there are issues of supply chain matters that we need to resolve.
Issues
happen that has to do with thresholds after the treasury regulation.
Haven't you complied?
It's a long story. I've got all day.
Talk to me. Tell me what are the problems.
These are issues that we are still investigating, but have to do with contracts that were entered into by park management and in the previous financial year.
They have the authority to enter.
That's what was still investigation because they were supposed to go on open tender. Instead, they obtained three quotations. So the circumstances around.
Which park?
Golden Gate.
Edo, Golden Gate, and?
Those were the two.
When will we know?
Chair, we plan to finalize the audit end of June, and the audit house will issue their report end of July.
I know that, but say, when will you know whether there's problems with those tenders?
Chair, it's an ongoing.
When will you be sacking people if there are problems?
We are hoping to finalize the issues end of June, but the auditors, Mary Ann is here from the auditors, whatever the outcome is, but those won't have an impact on the audit opinion. It's a matter that they will bring to the attention of managers to address going forward. But in terms of their significance...
Well, I want to report, they're not going to address it, I'm going to address it. I want the report immediately. CEO, I want the report immediately when you've got that report. And I want you to do it much quicker. Don't let bad things step in. You've had clean records always. Why is it suddenly that two of the parts would want to, the management, want to start breaching the law? You must act very quickly. Act very quickly, and I want the report. And we, as the department noted, that I want this report urgent.
Yes,
Jen is ready. And I want to see what action has been taken if those people have done something wrong. Dr. Collier?
I have one last question, and it's not a dear question, but what is the sort of, you know, as we're listening to you, sir, what is the progress with regard to the management of baboons
So does the situation here with the baboons. As long as they're inside the park, they're managed by Sun Park.
Yes.
But if they are outside the park.
Someone told them that.
Yes,
we met with a couple of people. If you're outside the park, you're the DA. There's someone down in there. Well, they could be ANC baboons. And they will go immediately outside into the DA area. Great havoc.
Yes, so we do have regular meetings with the city. But we have made it very clear that we wouldn't want to create an incorrect precedent where we get into a local government area and start managing things there. But our act is very clear, national park system. It doesn't say we must manage in towns and other areas.
This case point one is yours. I'd love to tell the baboons there that they can't go across the fence. If it's in our area, we're responsible. Otherwise, we'd be the best to look after the movement. Alright, any other issues? Alright, so we've got the instructions. Basically, things are looking good. Just this last little mishap that you are hiding away for us, now we know it. The defenders. Solve it quickly and take steps quickly. Stop the rock and make an example of the rock. I don't want this, even if it's friends of yours, you make examples of it. Because once the rock sets in, and you've given, you set the precedent, you're not acting on those problems. And you must know it's a slippery stuff. Okay. Thanks a lot. What's your plan? Also, there's good news from now. I've just received here, the Treasury will in future receive all state tenders worth half a $500,000 or more as part of a new tough tender regime to be announced
today.
So,
maybe it's
the last time we have to deal with these tender problems. From now on, your tenders will go through Treasury. So if you thought you were going to belong to an institution because of the tender processes, forget it, you're not going to get rich anymore. Alright, thank you very much to Sun Park. I have a little bit of a better idea. The department must please put out the policy issue for us.
you guys are still out the tender, and I think that was the main issues around that. Okay, there is a bit of a lunch somewhere close by. Where is it? What's the time? Sure. Okay, so we'll be back. You have half an hour to eat. We'll be back at 2 o'clock, okay?
Yeah.
And we'll start with Mangalisa.
I can't hear you too. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, this is it now. Yeah, it's going to be it now. Yeah. Yeah, that's good, eh?
I hope
so. Yeah, Ivani, join you. Not all your other boys, huh?
Yes, if you want me to review something or look at something, I work on that for 7 years.
Not if you appear, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah?
That's mine, eh?
Ah. Uh-huh.
My grand lady. It's a large car, it's a light.
It's expensive, eh?
Like, I mean, nothing. Hey, it's like, and are you at the metric? Are you at the metric? This is just tomorrow, right?